Shocking Electricity, read by Vianna Vance, a horrible science book, by Nick Arnold and Tony DeSalles. Introduction. Phew, it's the end of another day. How was your lesson on electricity? It was fine until someone woke me up. Oh, an alien monster joined our class. That's nice, dear. Mind you, science is boring, especially the science of electricity. That's shockingly boring. So the alien monster probably got bored out of its two tentacle brains. The unit of potential difference equates to a unit of work per charge. My brain tentacles have gone numb. Time to brain scan my report. Ultra-brainy alien. Mystified, lost. Odd. Blob, the blurb. The blurb. Stardate, present. Mission, observation of humanoid activity on planet known as Earth. Galaxy coordinates. 0000.1 1100.0011100.0. Background, juvenile humanoids, or children, are subjected to factual information by adult humanoids at a gathering known as a science lesson. Tests reveal that 99% of data is forgotten by the children. This can result in a primitive display of aggression by the adult humanoid. J-H-A-H. Present activity, monitoring of science lesson in a primitive shelter known as a school. Brain scan video. Today's topic is electricity. Dribble, doze, yawn. Notes. Juvenile humanoids enter an altered state of awareness known as snoozing. What is a what? A what? That's what I said. A what? What what? What what? Notes. A what is a humanoid measure of energy that may be produced by an electrical system. Report conclusion. Total breakdown of communication is a frequent feature of the science lesson. Are your science lessons this bad? Does learning about electricity leave you in shock? Well, if science makes you suffer, then reading this book could change your life. These pages are buzzing with shocking facts about electricity and humming with shocking stories, including the scientist who got struck by lightning, the surgeon who gave an electric shock to a glaring human heart, and the scientist who had a man killed to win an argument. After all, who needs boring science when you can have horrible science? Warning, this book is not for people who are easily shocked. So what are you waiting for? Why not plug in and switch over to the next page? Shocking Electrical Power. This book is guaranteed free from electrical failure. Well, that's probably because it doesn't run on electricity, unlike lots of other things, like toasters and televisions and fans and fridges. Where would we be without electricity? Well, you could be on a horrible science holiday. Just take a look at this. A holiday with a difference. The remote island of Hera. The island of Hera is so remote that it has no electricity. There were none of these noisy CD thingamies. It was so peaceful I could hear my knitting needles click, click. Mrs. Edna Scruples, age 97. The small print. Hera is a bit chilly, but at least it doesn't rain more than once a day, and then only for 24 hours. So you don't fancy a bit of Hera? Well, tough. It looks like you and your whole class are going there anyway, on a field trip. Hera Towers, Hera. Dear Coastal Rescue, please rescue us from horrible Hera. This island has no electricity and no electric heaters. It's freezing cold, and we're taking turns to warm ourselves on the island's cat. All we've got to eat is cat food because our food supplies have been lost. And it's not even hot cat food because there aren't any electric cookers. Our only light is a smelly candle because light bulbs need electricity. And it's mega boring here because there's no TV, no videos, no computer games, and no CD player because, yeah, you guessed it, they all need electricity. And our teacher, Mr. Sparks, is making us do extra homework. He says as a reward we can listen to him playing a squeaky old mouth organ. Laugh, we nearly cried. You've got to come before we all die. Please. Lots of love. Class 5E. P.S. The cat would like some fresh fish for supper. Yep, life without electricity sounds as much fun as cleaning the toilet with a toothbrush. But what do you actually know about this vital form of power? Heard any of these facts before? There are shocking facts about electricity. 1. You can make electricity from farts. It's true. By burning methane gas, found in some farts, you make heat which can be used to power generators and make electricity. Methane is also found in rotting rubbish, and in the United States there are 100 power stations based at rubbish tips that burn the gas. Power station. 2. Lightning is a giant electrical spark. Look out for the striking facts on page 202. One place that's safe from a lightning strike is inside a metal object like a car. The lightning runs through the metal, but not through the air inside, so if you avoid touching the metal yourself, you're safe. Much safer than sheltering in an outdoor toilet, for example. So you can make electricity from farts, eh? Boom. 3. Sometimes electrical power can surge when the power station pumps out too much electricity. Imagine a huge wave of power surging into your sockets. In 1990, people in the English village of Piddlehinton, yes, that's the name, were shocked when a power surge blew up their cookers and TVs. Wow, that's so realistic, as if our TV is exploding. It is, dear. Bang! But the biggest power cut in history hit the Northeast United States and Ontario, Canada in 1965. 30 million people were plunged into darkness, but luckily only 2 were killed in the confusion. Now you can test your knowledge further in this quickie quiz. It's bound to spark your interest. Shocking quiz. Which of these machines doesn't need electricity to work? A. The toilet. B. The telephone. C. The radio. 2. Why is it that the victim of a huge electric shock gets thrown through the air? No need to test this on family pets or frail elderly teachers. A. The thrust of the electricity lifts them off the ground. B. The electric current runs through the nerves and makes the muscles jerk violently, so the victim leaps backwards. C. Electricity reverses the thrust of gravity and makes the body weightless for a second. 3. Your teacher gets struck by lightning in the playground during a storm. Why is it dangerous to be in the playground at the same time? A. You might have to give your teacher the kiss of life. B. The playground will be wet from rain. The electric current from the lightning can spread through the wet surface and give you a nasty shock. C. The hot lightning turns playground puddles into dangerous superheated steam. Not me. No way. Forget it. Answers. 1A. Even if the radio doesn't work off mains electricity, it will be powered by electricity from a battery. When you're chatting on the phone to a friend, the receiver turns your voice into electric signals that travel down the wire to your friend's phone where they're changed into sounds again. Got all that? Toilets aren't powered by electricity, but you may be interested to know that in 1966, inventor Thomas J. Bayard devised an electrically powered wobbling toilet seat. The idea was that pummeling the bum prevents constipation. Sadly, people poo-pooed the idea, and the seat went off the market. 2B. This is handy because the person is usually thrown a safe distance from the object that's given them the shock. Another effect of a violent shock to the muscles and nerves is to make you poo and pee, resulting in shockingly smelly underwear. 3B. Electricity can pass through water, which is why it is extremely silly to put in any electrical machine, not designed for it, near water or touch power sockets or switches with wet fingers. Urgent horrible health warning. Mains electricity is dangerous. Do try some of the shocking experiments in this book, but don't use electricity from a power socket. It could mean squelchy knickers or even death. Yep, if you're a lively live wire and you want to stay in a live wire, leave live wires alone. For info on what to do if someone else gets an electric shock, see page 232. But before you get stuck into those experiments, here's an important and interesting question. What on earth is electricity actually made of? If you don't know, read on. The answer's in the next shocking chapter. Shocking electrical secrets. Okay, so what is electricity made of? Hands up, who knows? Art teacher, English teacher, history teacher, huh? Science teacher, me. Oh dear, it looks like Mr. Sparks, the science teacher, knows the answer. Electricity is a range of phenomena derived from a form of energy associated with static or dynamic charges. Charges may be characterized as positive or negative in relation to the number of electrons in a charged substance. Boast, brag, show off. Well, thank you, Mr. Sparks. Anyone understand that? No? Okay, let's try again. Everything in the universe is made of titchy bits called atoms, and most atoms are surrounded by a cloud of even smaller blips of energy called electrons. An atom magnified millions of times. Electron? Mr. Sparks, dribble. Life size. The electricity in your power sockets is actually made of moving electrons, and the power of electricity comes from the force the electrons give out. Let's imagine an atom as a family. Meet the atom family. The wizziest family in science. Mom, the electron kids. Mom is the center of the atom family. Everything revolves around her. Actually, scientists would call her a nucleus. Don't you call me names. The electron kids whiz around Mom. Each electron constantly gives out its energy as an electric force. They've got so much energy at their age. A quick scientific note. Actually, the nucleus also gives out an electric force. You can find out more about both forces on page 170. But you never knew. Electrons really are tiny. An electron is actually 10,000 times smaller than the nucleus. If you had a very steady hand, you could put 1,000 billion electrons in a line, and even then you wouldn't have quite enough to stretch across a pinhead. It's a wobbly line, Smith. Start again. It's a numbers game. Got a torch? All right, then switch it on and start counting. 1, 2, 3. That dim, feeble light in your torch bulb uses 6.28 billion billion electrons every second. Just to give you some idea of how massive this number is. A school day has about 23,400 seconds. If you don't believe me, try counting them. So if you wanted to get to a million, you'd have to count nonstop for another 10 days. 872,391. If you kept counting for another 32 years and 354 days, and that means counting whilst eating and sleeping and going to the toilet, you'd eventually reach 1 billion, if you hadn't died of boredom. Not gobsmacked yet? Well, get this. In order to count those electrons used by your dim and feeble little torch in just 1 second, you should have started counting well before the Earth was formed 4,600 million years ago. A note to the reader. What we call an electric current is actually a stream of electrons flowing through a wire. Can you imagine what it would be like to swim in the stream? Here's a story about a person who did just that. He's an odd job worker called Andy Mann. Good name, eh? It all began when Andy got a shrinking feeling and was made to feel very small. Oops, sorry, this photo was taken while he was still microscopic. There's a clearer one on the next page. A quick warning. Psst, Mr. Sparks is threatening to test you on the science of electricity after this story, so you better read it very carefully. It's a small world. Here's my story, and I want cash up front, okay? My name is Andy Mann. Andy by name, handy by nature, get it? Andy Mann. General repairs, plumbing, electrics, brickwork. Need a handyman? Andy's your man. No job too small. Wearing 01201583673. Mobile 09123876900. You can call me anytime, but not when there's darts on the telly. Yeah, I was telling you what happened. It all started when I went round to Professor Buzzov's house to do a job. Just a bit of sanitary engineering, as we say in the trade. Well, she had a blocked toilet pipe. Anyway, imagine me surprised when she said I had to wear this protective suit. All right, I said, thinking the toilet might be a stinker, as we say in the trade. Professor Buzzoff. It was an elementary error of identification. When Andy Mann appeared, I thought he was Dr. Manning, a visiting scientist who had volunteered to help me test my newly invented shrinking ray. Dr. Manning. Huh. The prof told me to stand under this machine. It didn't look much like a toilet, and I was about to say that the wiring looked a bit dodgy, and did she want it seen to when she flicked a lever. Then she started getting bigger, and the room started getting bigger. But hold on, it was me getting smaller. Yikes! Irk! Well, I know me card says no job's too small, but this job was looking, well, a bit too small. So I went on shrinking until I got sucked into an electrical wire. Why am I here? I asked myself. There was a malfunction in the diminisher unit. By the time I managed to deactivate the ray, Andy had shrunk to 0.00000000025 millimeters. Almost as small as an atom. And to make matters worse, he had vanished inside the machine. Obviously, this was a situation of some danger. Yeah, well, it was dangerous, all right. The first thing I saw was these weird balls, and I thought, blimey, they're atoms. And there was these tiny blips buzzing around the atoms. They were so fast, they looked like a blurry mist. Well, the prof later said they were electrons. The wire looked like this huge tunnel with atoms around the sides, and there was electrons flowing through it like a river. Then I got swept away by them electrons. They was like rubbery peas, and I had to swim for my life. Was I scared? Yeah, I was readying myself. How do you get out of this electric current, Andy? Well, me being a skilled electrician, all jobs considered, by the way, I knew that an electric current is made by electrons all flowing one way. Luckily, them electrons wasn't too fast, or I would have been killed or drowned or something. This is fascinating proof that electrons in a current move very slowly, approximately 0.1 millimeters per second. Meanwhile, I was trying to rescue Andy by resetting the shrinking ray to make him bigger. I switched on the light to help me see. Yeah, well, guess what happened? The wire got narrower. All the electrons squashed together, and they slowed down and started rubbing against the atoms around the sides. Yeah, and me. Phew, it was hot. Well, it's friction, isn't it? Rubbing makes heat like when you rub your hands together. Blobs of light started flying around, and then it hit me. I was inside the light bulb. Yeah, the one she just switched on. Mind you, I wasn't feeling too bright. Of course, I didn't know that Andy was in the bulb. We scientists call the friction Andy describes resistance, and the blobs of light Andy saw are called photons. They're given off by the electrons as they try to cool down. It must have been a scientifically fascinating experience. Photon magnified millions of times. Yeah, fascinating. Prof. Shame I was about to die. The protective suit was melting, and I reckoned I'd be melting soon. I was boiling hot and sweating buckets. This is it, Andy, I said to myself. I'll never get to see the darts final. Just then, me mobile rang. I didn't feel too chatty, but I answered it anyway. Might as well say goodbye to someone. Ring. I observed Andy's business card and remembered he had a mobile phone. So I called his number. I was shocked to discover that he was inside the light bulb and switched it off immediately. The switch stopped the flow of electrons and the light went out. Just in time. The wire started to cool down, but I wasn't out of the woods yet. I mean, out of the wire. I mean, how was the prof supposed to get me out? Maybe I was going to stay tiny all my life. How was I supposed to live? I couldn't even go outside because an ant might tread on me and squash me flat. Arg! It took me 3 hours to enlarge the bulb wire in small steps, and each time I cut out the portion of wire that contained Andy until eventually he was free. Then I was able to enlarge him back to his correct size. Of course, he was rather annoyed. I'm in this bit! Annoyed, I was fuming. First she sticks me in a light bulb and nearly cooks me. Then she brings me back to me old size. Exactly. Not 6'2". I mean, I always wanted to be 6'2", didn't I? Here we go. Bigger and bigger. Grr. Is that it? And guess what? She only goes on about that bunched up tight one, and I really blew a fuse. Just wait till she sees me bill. That won't be tiny. I bet she'll want to shrink away then. A quick note. Good news. We've managed to lock Mr. Sparks in the stationary cupboard so there won't be a scientist. Phew. Bang, bang, let me out. But just in case he manages to escape, here's a quick crib sheet with all the science test answers on it. Electricity test. Answers. Top secret. Keep out of reach of teachers. Mr. Sparks. 1. Electrons are fast-moving blips of energy that zip around the center of the atom. 2. The center of the atom is called the nucleus. 3. Electrons and the nucleus produce electric forces. 4. An electric current is when lots of electrons are flowing together in a kind of stream. 5. Photons are blobs of light energy given out by electrons when they heat up. 6. Resistance is when electrons start to rub against atoms and slow down in a wire. Resistance is also used to make heat in special wires that heat water in electric kettles and give out heat from hair dryers and electric heaters. Has the kettle boiled? It's putting up resistance. Shocking expressions. Do you know any good conductors? Do you say? Well, there's my music teacher, but she's a terrible conductor. That's why the school orchestra is so bad. Answer? No, a conductor is a substance that lets electrons flow through it. Metals are good conductors because many of their outer electrons are free of their atoms and flow around anyway. And that's why electrical wires are made of copper metal. By now you might be bursting to ask a question. Well, I don't know that for sure. You might be bursting for a pee. Anyway, your question might go like this. If electrons are so small, how were they ever discovered? Good question. Well, why not discover the next electrifying chapter and find out? Shocking discoveries. Arg! One of the most amazing things about science is the way scientists calmly tell us that tiny things exist, even though no one has ever seen them. Like your teacher's brain or the electron. Teacher. Well, let's face it, if they're both far too tiny to see even with the most powerful microscopes. But here's the amazing story of how it was discovered. That's the electron, not your teacher's brain. How can you prove an electron exists? I never said it did. Two really big breakthroughs. By 1880, scientists knew how to make it and they knew how to store it, see page 199, but they didn't know what electricity was actually made of. In that year, scientist William Crookes built a new machine to help him find the answer. Cathode ray tube, metal rod called an electrode, gives out a strange invisible ray. Glass tube, electric current from a battery goes in here. Crookes, my baby! Tin cross, end of tube glows in dark with an eerie green light. Most of the air taken out, a bit of gas left in. Quick scientific note. By taking the air out of the container, Crookes was getting rid of atoms in the air that might get in the way of the invisible ray. We now know that the ray was in fact a stream of electrons shooting out from the battery. Could you be a scientist? So what do you think made the green glow? A. The gas glowing as it's hit by the electrons. B. The glass tube glowing where the electrons hit it. C. A chemical reaction between the gas and the chemicals in the gas. In the glass. Answers? B. The electrons hit the atoms of the glass and heated them up until they gave out energy in the form of light photons. Of course, Crookes didn't know all this and he didn't understand what he was seeing. And as you're about to discover, it was hard for Crookes to explain his work to other scientists because they didn't trust him. The problem was that, unlike most scientists, Crookes believed in ghosts. Here's his story. Notable Science Hall of Fame, William Crookes. 1832 to 1919. Nationality, British. Crookes was the oldest of 16 kids. Would you like 15 cheeky little brothers and sisters breaking your things? Where's Mom? Having another baby, I expect. Obviously, this could drive a person to desperate measures, and maybe that's why Crookes became a chemistry teacher. But eventually he inherited a fortune, so at least he could afford Christmas presents for everyone. He retired from teaching and set up his own private chemistry lab for exciting experiments. Wow, this is exciting. Brothers and sisters, keep out. But some of his investigations shocked other scientists. In those days, many people believed that the spirits of the dead came back as ghosts and could be summoned by people with special abilities called mediums. Crookes decided to find the truth by careful scientific observation. The Secret Diary of William Crookes, November 11, 1870. Tonight, I set up an experiment with medium Florence Cook. I had heard of her reputation for making ghosts appear, but nothing was to prepare me for what I saw. We sat in a dark room and the medium went into a trance. Her eyes closed and she started breathing quickly and deeply. Is there anyone there? She called out. There was a sudden rap on the table. Rap. Rap once for yes, demanded the medium. Bang. Are you a spirit? Another rap. Can you make yourself visible? I asked, sounding rather scared. A cold wind blew through the room. The curtain fluttered and I saw a vague, white shape. I blinked in horror. It was a woman with a ghostly, pale face. She drifted round the room, and I almost managed to touch her unearthly form. Who? What are you? I gasped. The ghost moved her pale lips. In a faint voice, she replied, "My name is Katie. I have a message for you." The medium gave a sudden cry. She was pale and sweaty now, and when I looked again, the ghost had vanished. So what was the message? I can't wait for the next session. But had he seen a real ghost? Crook's fellow scientists were less than impressed with his work as a specter inspector. Most scientists don't believe in ghosts. I suppose they can see right through them, and they thought that Crook didn't stand a ghost of a chance of proving anything. Instead, the investigation ruined Crook's image as a sensible scientist. One scientist who didn't give up on Crook was John Joseph Thomson, 1856 to 1930. A professor at Cambridge University, JJ, as his friends called him, was useless at experiments and usually broke his equipment, but blowing up the school lab is not always a sign of genius, as I'm sure your teacher will point out. Luckily for JJ, when he became a professor, he had people to do the hands-on work for him. Where's Jenkins? Still in hospital, sir. You blew him up last week. JJ thought the ray Crookes had reported might be made of tiny blips of energy, and to find out more, he repeated one of Crookes' tests of using a magnet to bend the ray. He worked out how strong the magnet of course had to be to bend the ray, and using complicated maths, he calculated the weight of the blips that he thought made up the ray from the angle it was bent. Try doing that for your maths homework. Can I have some art homework instead? It turned out the ray really was made up of tiny blips, and they were far lighter than the lightest atoms. Thomson calculated how much energy each blip carried and realized that it matched the amount of lightest atoms. Thomson thought rightly that each atom carried at least one, and usually far more, of the blips. The tiny blips, of course, were electrons. Bet you never knew. Electrons make things feel solid. You see, the electrical force made by an electron pushes other electrons away. Solid objects are made of atoms and electrons tightly packed together, and so when you squash them, they push apart slightly, and this makes the object feel solid. Just think, if it wasn't for electrons, sitting on a chair would be like sitting on a slimy school dinner blancmange. You'd sink through it and end up sprawled on your bum. Electrons, who needs them? Splosh. Electric forces can do lots of other interesting things. They can even make your hair stand on end. And you can find out how in the next chapter. It's bound to set a few sparks flying. I'd better read on. Shocking static electricity. Have you ever gotten an electric shock when stroking the cat or trying on a woolly jumper? Yes? Congratulations! You've encountered static electricity, but static is definitely the wrong word. After all, static means staying still. Static scientist. So you think that in static electricity, the electrons must be lazing around reading comics? Wrong. Actually, although the electrons aren't all flowing together in an electric current, they're still whizzing around as usual, and in static electricity, the electrons also get to fly through the air and make sparks and give scientists nasty shocks and many other exciting things.